Welcome to Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf, maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back rock and
start the show.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. I am Tay, Eric Taylor, waiting for my partner in crime, Ray, Tall Rayside. Let's see. I think he's calling in.
I'm
on
here.
A dial.
I'm here.
All right, all right. Sure. It's Friday, baby. Let him know.
Yeah, some technical difficulties, but we're here. We're here. So, yes, you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And like I said, I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to join the adventure, busy show, give us a call. We're going to have a lot of fun, some fun topics to talk about in sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails and even your voice questions. We got a question today, so we'll have to play it. People are shooting in their questions at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Hit us up with the MP3. We'll play you live on the air. And your question could be answered. And check out rayandtaytoday.com. And, Ray, let them know, man. Got a busy show. Some fun topics.
Yeah, no doubt. We've got some breaking news and world sports happenings. You using any foreign substances on your neck?
No, nothing on my neck. I don't want to lose 10 days of nothing. I enjoy every day.
All right.
I gotta
so we
play.
Got a little bit of that. We got a little bit of that going on. Then we have to get into, we'll take a quick look at baseball, but we need to jump into these basketball playoffs. Six out of
games.
Eight series, the visiting team is, the underdog, I should say, is tied or ahead in six out of the eight series. So that's pretty
amazing.
You gotta love it. Yep, you gotta love it. And then we'll spend the second half of the show talking about football, getting you ready for the NFL draft. So Ray and Tay are going to present our top 10 quarterbacks currently. And while we're on the topic of current quarterbacks, we'll talk about this year, 2014's crop of quarterbacks. We'll tell you where the top 10 quarterbacks in our mind, where they end up in the draft.
We're going to
stick our neck out. We'll eventually give you a mock draft before the draft. Ray and Tay will put together a full mock draft, probably go the first round. We thought of maybe going to top 10, but, you know, popular demand. People, our fans out there asking for a full first round.
They need a mock. They need a mock, yo.
They need to mock it up.
We'll
Ray
mock
and
it
Tay
up
mock 1.0. So.
Yeah, one and only. See, we don't need to do six or seven. Just one. Just like our boy Mike Mayock, he does one the night before the draft. We'll do ours a little bit before him on Monday, May 5th. But can't wait. Draft is coming.
It's amazing, too. We'll talk about it later. But it's amazing that essentially in every other sport, the draft is a one-day event, and the NFL has made the draft a four-month event. NFL's unbelievable.
Very smart. We'll talk about also the schedule release, a couple of fun games. You know, everybody's been talking about the schedule. There's some interesting matchups, and really, I guess we already knew them, but where they're playing, primetime games, you know, stuff like that. Listen, let's jump into it, though. I got to ask you, are you going pro? Because the Harrison twins are staying at Kentucky. What a shocker. What'd you think about that? The Harrison twins decided not to go to the NBA draft. Interesting.
You know, not only is it interesting, but think about this for a minute. If they have no recruits, and you know Calipari always has recruits, if they have no recruits, they're probably the most talented team in the nation. Because think about who's staying. You know, of course, Randall and Young are going. But think about who's staying. They got the Harrison twins staying. They got Poitras staying. And they got the three big men staying. Lee, Qualley Stein, and the kid from Brooklyn. So they've got five All-Americans coming back six.
And they have two, and they did get two good recruits.
No,
I think
saying,
they had two studs in
the
McDonald's game.
Recruits,
yeah.
Even if you get nothing from the recruits, you have definitely the best front court and the deepest front court in the country, and you got two backcourt kids that'll be, you know, top 15 picks.
Oh, they're
going to
be veterans now. As sophomores, they'll be veterans in college hoops. But also, on the other side of that, even after his injury and being out for the whole season, Mitch McGarry decided to go pro from Go Blue, University of Michigan. So that's kind of interesting, and I'm not so surprised.
Yeah, I wanted him to come back.
Come back. I think he should have come back, work on his game, and to play. Nobody's seen him play. I mean, I can't say I'm going to pick him in the lottery right now just based on his freshman year. He didn't play his sophomore year. So tell me what's going on in baseball, man. I know, you know, we got a little Tommy John with the Yankees, with Nova, and then what's going on with Pineda, man? What's the deal?
Yeah, so Ivan Nova is electing – going to elect for that Tommy John surgery, it looks like, which puts him out a year. Poor guy. Although, you know, the good thing is that surgery, we talked about it. The doctor who did that surgery should really be called his name, with all due respect to Tommy John, right?
Yeah,
it should be the doctor who performed the surgery, not the first guy to receive it and come back. But, you know, Michael Pineda, baseball's got to get a grip on this, because I don't know how to handle it, but baseball has all these unwritten rules. So now it's revealed itself that there's an unwritten rule that everybody uses pine tar, except you have to do it discreetly. So if your catcher has it, and I'm not saying Pineda shouldn't have been suspended. He definitely should have been suspended. It was a little too egregious. Plus, he had it on his hand 2 weeks ago, and then he had it on his neck.
Yeah, that's really? Twice against the Red Sox in 2 weeks.
It's a little bit much. It's a little bit much. Well, the schedule had it that the Yankees played the Red Sox, you know, twice in a matter of a week and a half. But putting that aside, baseball has to really think to itself, everybody uses it. So what you're telling people is you can use it, but you got to
just don't get caught.
Read about it. Just don't get caught, which is a little hokey. The interesting thing that I heard, though, is that almost everybody, without exception, was – saying Pineda didn't do anything out of the ordinary. Everybody does it. He just was egregious and put it on his neck. And pitchers need it for some grip and some tackiness, especially in the beginning and the end of the season when it's cold and you can't get a grip on the ball. In fact, that's what Pineda
especially
said.
In the East or Midwest,
Yeah, they asked him, cold. They said, you know, is this, do you know it's illegal? He said, yeah, but I couldn't get a grip on the ball. And his first inning was pretty wild. The only person I heard that came out, and I want to ask your opinion on this, the only person I heard that came out against that was Doc Gooden. And he tweeted, let's not kid ourselves. I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically, let's not kid ourselves. The splitter and the slider are much more effective if you can doctor up the baseball with pine tar. So he's the only one that came out and said, you know what, this is hogwash. The pitchers have an advantage, not just gripping the ball and throwing strikes, but they have an advantage because the ball moves. Which is funny because nobody else has said that. Everybody else has come out and said, well, you need it to grip the ball.
Yeah, for the grip and cold,
the pitcher actually gets an advantage.
Well, look, give Dwight credit for being honest, and I think more players should. It's probably a lot easier if you're not trying to get a contract and you're not under the umbrella of the MLB right now and you're not active like a retired player like Doc. But I think it's true to a lot. But this is the funny thing, right? You can't say, like, okay, cheat, but just don't get caught, because then that opens the door. If you're going to talk about it for, you know, somebody's like, okay, well, wait, but what about these illegal, PEDs? Well, that's still cheating. It enhances their play. So if you grip the ball better because of a pine tar or Vaseline or whatever you might use, or cutting it or whatever, it's still cheating. So, I mean, to me, you can't be like, well, there's one type of cheating and then another type of cheating. It's got to be, it's all cheating. So MLB has got to, it's such a game that you can find little ways to cheat, so they got to fix it. I think you got to be hardline, right? You got to be across the board. They need Roger Goodell to come in there and fix up baseball. They need a new commissioner. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just going to
Well, you're getting a new commissioner, so that's going to happen. But, you know, it's just one sport where all these unwritten rules, you know, I guess because it's the oldest sport, It's like either write the rules so there's no unwritten rules, or
yeah,
just let's stop having these secret handshakes, right? Have everything be out in the open. Like, this is cool, this is not cool.
Well, you talk about secret handshakes, staying in some of the breaking news. Northwestern, they had their historic vote, so I guess we got to see what comes of everything out of this, if they are forming a union, and how it affects the future of college football at Northwestern, but college sports in America. So that should be kind of interesting as that plays itself out. I guess we're going to talk about the NFL, because I wanted to, talk to you about some of these rumors and stuff. But let's jump right into it. I mean, this is the perfect way to get into the NBA playoffs. I do have a question coming up. I got to ask, one of the listeners called in and wants to ask, but I got to ask you this. Does LeBron have a gripe? Because he's saying he's frustrated with the fouls. Now, Miami's up 2-0. They, are up on Charlotte, but that game, too, is really close. And they were beating the heck out of LeBron. What are your thoughts about sort of the whistles? And there have been a lot of non-calls and bad calls so far in the first round and a couple of these series, the Clippers game, the Grizzlies Thunder game. What are your thoughts about the referees and just the fouls and what's going on? Even last night, Warriors Clippers with the Chris Paul and stuff. What do you think the refs are doing or how they're doing?
You know what? I can't systematically bash the refs. I think the refs are doing okay. They're doing fine. The refs that do the playoffs are typically the best of the, the best of the best. So I don't really have a beef with the refs. Have calls gone one way or the other a little bit too much? Yeah, of course. I think that first game, that first Houston-Portland game was called way too closely when Aldridge had five or fouled out ultimately.
Yeah.
And, a couple other people on Portland had four or five fouls, and a few people on Houston had too many fouls. So I think that game was ref too close, too tight. But mm-hmm. I think, back to LeBron. LeBron has to talk to Shaq. It's one of those things where the freak of nature in his period is one of the hardest guys to ref. And Shaq was hard to ref because people would maul him. And because he was big and people would bounce off of him, he probably was under-fouled. Like, they fouled him more than
probably
they
Shaq
fought.
And Chamberlain, the two hardest in NBA history.
And so LeBron is probably the same thing. LeBron, now the problem is he doesn't do himself any service by, in the beginning of his career, he would flop a little bit and he would exaggerate on defense. And he's a great defensive player, right? One of the best in the league and maybe the best at his position. But he didn't do himself any favors. And he's built like a truck, so people are saying, what can a 6 foot, what can a DJ Augustine do? A little 5'11 Kemba Walker, what can they do if LeBron, in the open court against LeBron or in a close situation, and even a big man against LeBron? So I just think LeBron has two championships, so it's not, a case of crying and trying to earn the refs, attention and win a championship. He's got his two championships, but he does get fouled a lot. And Eric Spoelstra and he were pointing that out, and they're right. I just think you gotta forget about it. You got to put it behind you and find a way to use it as motivation or do something, because if you start to put too much emphasis on it, remember he's also not 100% consistent on the free throw line. So he's not Kevin Durant, let's put it that way. I don't know if he wants to go to the line 15 times.
Well, I don't know about that.
But
foul,
right? If you get fouled,
you got to call it. So let's go through these series. Let's start with the three games tonight, and we'll work our way through each series because there's so much to talk about, and it's really fascinating how things are playing out. Raptors-Nets, it's 1-1. They start off tonight at 7 o'clock. It's going to Brooklyn. In my mind, I got to believe that this is going to be a series where it just goes 1-1-1 and it's going to go seven games, because I think now that Lowry and DeRozan, they sort of see the intensity that you need for the playoffs, Ross, Valanciunas, all of the Raptors, I think they're going to be able to sort of hang with Brooklyn. I don't think they'll win tonight, but I do think it has the potential where they can go 1-1-1-1. I think Pierce and the crowd and Darren Williams and just the momentum of being at home in Brooklyn, the playoff game, I think the Nets will win tonight and go up 2-1 on the Raptors. But I do like the youth of the Raptors, the mutes, and how they can, keep the series going, like I said, 1-1-1-1-1 all the way to Game 7 and see what happens. What do you think about tonight and this series in general?
Well, it's funny because we keep coming back to this theme of matchups. And You've got the young, athletic Raptors against the old, grizzled veterans of New Jersey. I'm sorry, I keep calling New Jersey.
Brooklyn. How many veterans are out there peddling?
And then they sprinkle in a little bit of youth inside the veteran leadership, right? So they got Plumlee. I'd like to see Sean Livingston, you know, our caller Q from Atlanta was talking about how Sean Livingston is the key. So to me, it's a matter of who imposes their will. Can Brooklyn keep it a half-court game, all about execution, toughness, and they win that game, and then if Toronto can make it a track meet and they can get Lowry and DeRozan, up and out and fill in the lanes, then, you know, Toronto can win this series. I think almost everybody predicted Brooklyn, and so I'm going to stick with Brooklyn in six. But Toronto can play, and Toronto was the number three seed and not by accident. So this should be a good series. I like this series. You know, Brooklyn's home. I'm not sure that the Barclays Center is that great of a home arena yet, because they're just kind of breaking it in. So I don't know if it's Boston Garden or Oklahoma City.
You don't think they're ready to rock? You don't think they're ready to rock for the fans?
I'm not saying they're not ready to rock. I'm just saying it's not a huge home court advantage. It's not like, oh, my God, we're stepping into the Barclays Center. We're fearful. We can't play in the Barclays Center. That crowd is so crazy.
You ain't scared?
No, I'm not scared if I'm Toronto. So I like the series. I think it's a fun series. I still like Brooklyn in six, but I think this is going to be – every game is going to be interesting.
Yeah, no. This is going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see how it plays out. And what I'm really interested in too, though, is a broom in D.C. because the other game and the other series we got to talk about, it's the Bulls and the Wizards, and we are seeing stars being born, and potentially not in Golden State, but maybe in D.C. the best young backcourt in the NBA with John Wizzy Wizzy Wall from Kentucky and Bradley Beal. I love the fact the Wizards took care of Chicago in Chicago. They're up 2-0. This is the 4-5 matchup. You know, during the season, the Bulls got 48 wins. The Wizards got 44. Wizards had a ton of injuries, but now everybody seems to be healthy, and Nene is balling. John Wall is balling, like you said last show. Ariza is showing up, playing his quality minutes with great defense. The way Beal is developing, I mean, it's fascinating. He's scoring 17 a game. You know, you're going to really have to respect the fact that Nene and Gortat are solid, and the Bulls just can't score. If you got to do isolation plays and try to do pick and rolls to free up DJ Augustine and Kirk Heinrich, if Gibson and Dunleavy don't score and you don't get anything out of Butler, it's just hard, man, because Boozer's got to be their offense. Boozer needs to score 20 points for them to really win this series. He needs to start scoring 20 points a game. I think the Wizards are going to win tonight. I think there's a good chance.
Court.
No, they got to play him. You're right. You're totally right. I think this is going to go five, and I think the Wizards, or maybe six. I think the Wizards are going to now. I really see it. I think they'll win back in D.C. game six because they're not going to win in Chicago. Chicago's got enough pride. But Chicago will get one of these games. Then they'll have to, you know, get another one in Chicago. And then I think the Wizards will win game six at home. But I think the Wizards are now going to take this series where I didn't necessarily think that before. But the way that they're playing, it's amazing.
Well,
kudos to the Wizards
and John Wall. I had Chicago, and before the season, I had Chicago going all the way to the championship. Again, I didn't know that Rose and Bang would be out. But
yeah,
let me ask you this. So marinate on this for a minute. Number one, this team essentially gave up on Luol Deng for basically nothing in return. He was going to leave anyway as a free agent. They might as well ride him for the playoffs. But anyway, they gave up on Luol Deng. So this team really has no above-average offensive player, with the exception of Carlos Boozer, maybe of 2-3 years ago, and he doesn't even play. So they're all below-average offensive players. So even though defense wins championships and Thibodeau is a great defensive coach, at the end of the day, I don't think you're going
You can't rely on Noah to give you 15 points, 15 rebounds, you know, every night, and 15 points is not enough.
So the question is, does this make Chicago more attractive? Because the case for more attractive for Melo, right? The case is more attractive because they really, really need you. And then not only that, but they're an offensive player away, and you're going to get two offensive players in Rose and Melo, theoretically. Or do you say to yourself, you know what? This team, they work them so hard, and you just spill your blood, guts, and sweat and tears for this team, and they still have trouble on the offensive end, and maybe all that burden is going to fall back on me. And Derrick Rose, you know, his health is a little bit of a concern. So does this playoffs make Chicago more attractive, the same, or less attractive to Melo?
I got to say, potentially more attractive, especially with Phil's comments this week, sort of basically putting it on Melo to, like, come back to New York, but come for less money, you know, win here, but, you know, give us, like, almost kind of like a discount, and so we can build the right team around you.
I love it.
I think Melo is sort of like, you know what, I love that Phil Jackson did it and said it. I just think, at the end of the day, it's going to be like, how much do you really love New York, and then how much do you really think about the actual players surrounding you? Because I think the Knicks showed at the end of the season when they played well that their roster isn't that bad. They just have got to play right correctly and be healthy. Amari and Shumpert and JR and Melo, they were all looking like, wow, they, you know, Chandler, they actually have a good team to get a point guard. And, you know, I'm at a place where it's 50-50 now. I would have said Melo's coming back, but I think it's 50-50. And I could see him going to Chicago. I mean, to play with Noah and Rose, that's a big three. And, you know, whether it's Boozer or Gibson that's still there or whatever, and then they get another draft pick with, you know, Butler and these young guys, Melo can go there and be the horse and score 25, 30 a game, or, you know, at least 25 with Rose, and they'll probably be playing for a championship. So I'll say that right now what's happening is not hindering. It can only help, but it'll be a coin toss. It'll be a coin toss.
You know what I'm doing, Melo? I'm opting in. I'm staying one more year, and I'm going to let Phil Jackson, Chicago, and even L.A. figure it out. And see who's got the juice. I mean, Charlotte's going to have money. I don't know if Carmelo wants to play in Charlotte, but let teams figure out, you know, build some teams, and then I'll make my option, especially if you're going to ask me to take less money. I'll take less money if it's a big market and I can win a championship. But I don't know that right now, so I think he's going to have to wait. He's also going to have to see if Derrick Rose is healthy, frankly.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it moving. Blazers, Blazers, Blazers. Amazing. They're going to Portland, another team that could sweep up 2-0 on Tay's Rockets that I picked. Yikes. But let me tell you, either one of these teams might be able to beat the Spurs or Dallas. We'll see how that goes. But the Blazers, what we're seeing, and we spoke about it, and I remember I said the playoffs is where, you know, you make your name when the stars. Well, a star is born, and his name is LaMarcus Aldridge. And the dominance that this guy is putting up, 46 and 43 in two games. You talk about the scoring. He's getting rebounds. And everyone is sort of seeing James Harden plays no D, and he's not getting to the foul line. He's not getting the fouls and the calls that he normally gets. And honestly, Houston is looking like a hot mess. I don't know what is going on. I can't believe that the Blazers, you know, would sweep this series. But, you know, from Aldridge to go from 23 a game to now averaging basically 44 and a half a game, that's ridiculous. So shout out to LaMarcus, and you know Dame Lillard is my dude. I actually like the Blazers more than I like the Rockets. I just picked the Rockets. You picked the Blazers. Are your Blazers in this pick, are they going to sweep, or will they win in five or six?
No, Rockets are too good. Rockets are too good. I think that they won't sweep.
So they wake up tonight? The Rockets wake up tonight?
I think so. Look, both games have been very close, totally different games. This last game was a Dwight Howard first half. But you know what? Dwight Howard had 25 and 7 on the first half, and they were tied. So you could tell that they were a little bit out of their element with Dwight Howard dumping the ball. And I mean, the ball's got to go through James Harden, and they got to find a way to keep Dwight Howard involved.
And they
got
to shoot their 3-point shots. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do what got you here. You know, you're a flawed team, but you know, ride those flaws because your team is the number one 3-point shooting team. I think they're 1-3, right? Portland and Houston. So they're all about shooting threes. So do what got you there. And Dwight, you tell him, look, man, you were the defensive player of the year 3 times, then start doing it. Play LaMarcus Aldridge, and you got to shut him down. You got to take it as a personal challenge. You can't get in foul trouble. You got to take it as a personal challenge to shut this dude down. He's averaging 44.5 and 13 rebounds a game. Dwight, you need to shut him down.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait. This series is fascinating. The Wizards, right? The Blazers, the Wizards, the teams. But you know what? It's like amazing to see. And I was like going crazy last night watching this game. My man, Jeff Teague and the Atlanta Hawks. That was a great win. A great team. Listen, Atlanta, they shoot the top 3-point shooting team. They're number, I think they were the number one team in assists all year. They shoot threes. They share the ball. They play a little bit like the Spurs. But the Hawks, man, and this coach, Mike Budenholzer, he's amazing. Forget about just having Horford. Just with who they got now, they might, you know, the Pacers might have found something with having Sciola and West play more minutes together, and forget about Hibbert. Might have been a little bit too late, though, because right now the Hawks are at home, and, you know, they could easily, Saturday, go up 3-1. Mike Scott's playing. Carroll had a big game. Jeff Teague. You see Korver. Lou Williams was hitting his shots. Kudos to the Hawks, but I got to tell you, Stevenson seems like the only guy that's got real heart for the Pacers. And if Paul George is nobody's top player in the league, I'm sorry. He's playing bad. Stevenson, to me, is the only dude I see out there that is like, no matter what, I will will myself to get to the free throw line, to get buckets, make the pass. You know, did you see when Stevenson and Teague had that little thing when they went back and forth? Teague scored, then Stevenson scored, back and forth. I got to tell you, I'm really impressed with Stevenson, but I'm disappointed in George, and I'm really impressed with the Hawks. What do you think is going to happen? I think the Hawks got this series. I think they're going to win in 6. Pacers are done.
Really? I don't think the Pacers ultimately win this series because
done.
I believe in their defense. I don't know what's in their head, though. That's the problem. That's what I can't measure. And I don't know what happened to Roy Hibbert. He was on top of the world last year after that Heat series. You thought it was a no-brainer that he is the anchor of the middle, and all, you know, you're not asking for him to carry the team. Like, Dwight Howard's the most pressure one of them. Dwight Howard actually has to dominate the game. Roy Hibbert just needs to play big. Just give me 12 points and 10 rebounds. That's all I'm asking for. That's not, and a couple of blocks.
Or 12 rebounds and even 8 or 10 points. Give me all the rebounds and block some shots.
Yeah, I mean, I can get some points from, you know, Mahimi and Scola and David West and whatever. Just give me a presence. Just give me a presence. Now, the problem is, again, matchup makes fights. These Hawks are spreading them out, and they're making Roy Hibbert useless on defense. So if you're going to be useless on defense, you got to be useful on offense, right? You got to be able to score, create mismatches, and draw attention to yourself on offense because – otherwise, you just can't play. Otherwise, you got to play Scola and West up front.
Yeah, and
so
good props to Millsap.
You got to get in Roy Hibbert's head and say, look, Roy, we need
Millsap's playing some ball.
Yep.
Millsap is really playing some ball. All right, so let's go to our question, and that will lead us into the Spurs-Mavs series. We've got a question here from, I think this is Elton from New York.
Big E. Hey, guys, how you doing? Just one quick question about the NBA playoffs. Do you think the Spurs have what it takes to get back to the championship game? And do you think they have what it takes to win it all this year?
Okay. That's a good question.
All right. Thanks, Elton. Well, look at the series right now, right? They play Saturday for Game 3. It's 1-1 going to Dallas. I think the Spurs are in trouble. And I thought this going into it. That's why I picked the Rockets to beat them. I think the Mavs could beat them. I think that I like the way this Dallas team is playing, and they play a lot better at home. And if you've got Dirk and Monte, and then you get the contribution, Sean Marion puts up 20 points, there's the rest of the Spurs are in trouble. Because I'm telling you, Calderon, these guys are wise veterans. And then you're seeing how good of a coach is Carlisle. He's great. They didn't beat the Heat by accident, ladies and gentlemen. They did it with great coaching and great role players around Dirk. Well, this time they've got some great role players, but they've got a young scorer. And if Parker's not healthy enough and Monte Ellis winds up being the best player, the best scorer for the rest of this series, then I think the Mavs could win it. But I'm not going to knock the Spurs out yet, but I think the Mavs have a heck of a shot. And let's see what happens Game 3. I think the Mavs will win Game 3. I'm going to go with that. And it will definitely go 7, but I think the Mavs are alive for a shot, so we'll see.
Negative. So I'm going to have to take the other side of that argument. And I'm going to say, look, the Spurs are in for the long run. I think they disrespected the Mavericks a little bit. They had won, all 4 this year and 11 straight at home or some craziness like that. I think they didn't take them seriously enough. I think they'll win this series in 5 or 6. There are 2 teams out there that can definitely beat the Spurs. First and foremost is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, we'll get to them in a sec, but they're in a little bit of trouble in their own right. But Oklahoma City is a horrible matchup for the Spurs. Memphis is actually, can be an up-and-down matchup. They beat them a few years ago, although the Spurs handled them this year. But so Oklahoma City is one team, Miami Heat's the other team, and the third team that can give them trouble, although I still think the Spurs would win in 7 because of home court, is the Clippers. But other than that, I think the Spurs are going to get it together. They're going to beat the Mavs. In the next round, they'll take out the Portland. Oh, Houston is also a bad matchup for them because they spread them out and shoot. But I think they'll beat I think Portland will win the next series anyway. So I think they'll beat Portland in a tough series. So to answer Elton's question, yes, they have what it takes. I don't know if they will, but I think that they'll get to the Western Conference Finals. And if they don't see the Thunder, then they'll go to the NBA Finals as well. And they have a good chance to win that. Assuming they stay healthy, right?
Well, let's move on to other series and basically these games on Saturday. And like you said, Grizzlies and Thunder. Well, Grizzlies stepped it up. And this is what's fascinating. This series is tied, and you're going back to Memphis. And I like the way Memphis is playing. The Grizzlies look good. I think when you're starting to get, point contributions and having Tony Allen off the bench and they start Courtney Lee now, a little bit more offense, Tony Allen is really making Durant work for his 30 points. That was a great game. And Gasol and Zach Randolph they're almost underrated. Now, I didn't think Gasol was Defensive Player of the Year last year, but I think the two of them together is a great tandem and can keep the Grizzlies in any game and in any series. I don't know. I think the Thunder will win, but this is going to be a dogfight. I think the Thunder will have to go 7 games, which I sort of felt in the beginning, but this Grizzly team, they're tough, right? They are so tough.
Yeah, this Grizzly team is a tough matchup for anybody because very rarely do you have 2 big men. I mean, I guess the Clippers do in DeAndre Jordan and Griffin.
But if Conley's scoring like this, if Conley scores, they're almost dangerous.
Yeah, they can be. And you know what? The key to that team, just the spirit of that team, is Tony Allen. And it's really – I love the fact that a guy –
And Mike Miller for 3. and veteran.
Yeah, but what I like the fact that Tony Allen, a guy that's a veteran, that isn't really exceptional, you know, on the offensive end, is still athletic enough and still got enough in his game. He's just disruptive. He's like Patrick Beverly. He's like Bruce Bowen. He's just a disruptive dude. You try to run your sets, and now at this point, everybody knows everybody's sets, right? But it's a matter of who wants it more. And he is, I would say even more than LeBron, he is Kevin Durant's worst nightmare because he just annoys him, right? He gets him off of his spot. He messes up his timing. It's so hard for Durant to get the ball. So even if Durant scores, it's a hard 30. It's a hard 25. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can score 25, but it's like scoring 50 because it takes so much effort and it takes so much out of you. And at the end of the game, you know, Durant doesn't want to party. He just wants to relax. He just wants to rest. Because
well, they're physical and they bang. They bang you. Yeah. So, well, let's keep it moving. Obviously, this last series, Heat Bobcats. I think it's a sweep. I'm sure you do too, for the Heat. Bobcats, valiant effort from Jefferson, giving you what 18 and 13, and playing on one foot. But I gotta believe, even in Charlotte, even though Ray's gotta rock the jersey, I gotta believe the Bobcats are gonna get swept. And do you see by any luck that the Bobcats can get a game or the Heat will sweep them?
I think the Heat will sweep them. I think the Heat know what's at stake. I think the Heat, you know, figure, especially with Dwayne Wade's health being on the fritz, you don't want to play any excessive games, right? So if you can put this team out before, put them out.
And go get your rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wait for the Brooklyn-Toronto, which could go seven games, which would be great for the Heat. That's what they would dream of. And then the last series, last night, you know, 98-96, controversial, good, close game. The Clippers go up 2-1. What'd you think? And let me ask you this, because, like, I said it, and now I'm starting to even believe what I said. So, obviously, it's, you know, I would put him third in the voting. But Blake Griffin is – he's an MVP candidate for real. And 32-8, he's playing amazing. He's showing multiple moves. He's not just dunking. I gotta say, if DeAndre Jordan can continue to improve, the Clippers, they could be on their way.
Your statement's a little bothersome to me. You said, I said it, and now I'm even starting to believe it. So are you telling me that you say stuff you don't believe?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because of the Clippers, you can't believe what you see or what you say with them. I picked the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals this year, but I didn't know if I believed it. You know what I mean? Because even when I said it on the go back to the videotape, right, and to the NBA preview show that we had back at the end of October, and I'm telling you, I know I said it, that the Clippers will be in the finals with the Heat, but I just don't know in the clutch moments, can they get you a clutch basket? Who's going to score it? Well, it's starting to come, you know. Did you see their bench? Their bench, the backup five, Collison, Granger, Big Baby, Turkoglu and Crawford.
That's a great
starting
five.
Backup five. Yeah. They can make the playoffs.
They're
10 deep, right?
They're better than Orlando.
They can make the playoffs. So I think the Clippers will win the series. The Warriors have their game. They're fun. Maybe they can win game four at home. We'll see on Saturday. But I think 5-6 at the most. The Clippers have this to me.
I tell you what. You can look at the glass half full or glass half empty, because you could argue that once Bogut went down, the Clippers really should be dominating this series. And kudos to the Warriors, especially to Draymond Green, David
Lee. Yeah, he's amazing.
Harrison Barnes isn't playing as much as I think he should. Iguodala, like, these guys are playing very small. And DeAndre Jordan is a minimal in the 22 boards and freeing up, you know, attention for Blake Griffin. So really, the Clippers, to me, should be blowing the Warriors away. And the Warriors are playing tough. And you know, Mark Jackson may lose his job, but I think that's a shame.
I think he's a great coach. He shouldn't, yeah.
He really is getting a lot out of these players. You could argue the GMing of the Clippers is much, much better than the GMing of the Warriors right now. I love the Clippers roster. I mean, that roster is unbelievable.
They should have got the size at the trade deadline.
Yeah, like you said, they needed, especially knowing now, I mean, we didn't know it then, but history told us that Andrew Bogut is fragile. So
yeah, definitely.
They were going into these playoffs knowing that they're going to be a small team, and if Bogut goes down, they're a very small team.
Yeah. Well, look, it's going to be fun. Everybody stay tuned. The game's tonight, this weekend. Obviously, on Monday, we'll be back talking some more NBA playoffs. It's hot. It's exciting, and you know, it's great, right, when the Warriors, like the Wizards and Blazers and the Hawks, these teams that, you know, maybe most people didn't expect them to win, they're on the brink of potentially upsetting. It makes it exciting and fun because you don't know who's going to surprise you and who's going to stand out. So that's what makes it fun. But you know what's fun? It's fun talking football. Now, maybe we can end with the schedule, or unless you just want to kick it around for a second and get right to these quarterbacks. But the one thing I will say, let's just get it out of the way. What's fun about the schedule, great Thursday night matchups, and I guess what's going to happen is CBS and NFL Network will simulcast together. It starts week two, Steelers-Ravens. That's awesome. You got to love the opening night, you know, like Sunday night and the football games. You got the Thursday night, the Packers, the Fail Mary against the Seahawks, so that rematch will be fun. And then the Sunday night football, Colts-Broncos in Denver, that's going to be fun. Andrew Luck this year plays both Mannings. And then the Monday night football, did you see this? The Giants in Detroit, which will be kind of wild, right? With Giants with all these new players and free agents. And then the second game out here, baby, I might have to go get tickets. The Chargers at the Arizona Cardinals, who have three primetime games. What are your thoughts? And, what do you think, man? Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like the opening game, the Green Bay-Seattle game. That should be a great game. You know, we always expect every year that Aaron Rodgers is going to make Green Bay a Super Bowl contender. His defense holds up, if they can give him some weapons on offense. So we'll see. We'll see Seattle as a defending champ, how hungry they are. I do like the fact that you get to see the Cardinals, you get to see the Giants, you get to see a few teams that have a lot of question marks. I think that the NFL, you know, it's funny, again, give kudos to the NFL. We talk about how most teams just announce their schedule. NFL announcing its schedule is almost a holiday.
So the marketing engine
is great. The simulcast should be interesting. So does that mean that the CBS crew, Jim Nance, I guess it's going to be the Jim Nance crew, right? Are they going to work?
Yeah, Jim Nance, I think they do
Thursday
half the game.
Sunday?
No, so yeah, they're going to do Thursday and Sunday. Jim Nance and Phil Sims will do Thursday night, I think, from week two to week nine. They'll do like eight games, and then the other eight games will be, you know, just the NFL Network.
Jim Nance works Thursday, Nance and Sims do Thursday. Are they also doing the Sunday game?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
oh,
a
yeah.
lot. I mean, did they get a pay raise?
I don't know. I'm sure they do.
We'll
have to call Jim and ask him. Well, listen, this is what's fascinating. Let's talk about the top quarterbacks in this draft. The draft is heating up. It is less than 2 weeks away. It is Thursday, May 8th. I cannot wait. There's all these rumors about who wants this, who's going to trade for that. Now the Falcons might trade up to number one for Clowney, or the Texans might draft Clowney and then move him. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. Niners are saying they want to trade up for Mike Evans. But let's focus on these quarterbacks. We'll do our mock draft. We're inching up. We had to give you a little taste. I'll name the quarterback, and you and I will name the team and just see where we think these – because this is a pretty – not Hall of Fame, it's not Luck and Griffin, but these are some good quarterbacks that maybe everybody we name one day could be a starter in the next 5 years, or at least they'll be a backup.
We'll get into it because it's funny because these guys are now slipping down some people's draft boards. What was looking like three might go in the top six or eight, now they're saying that they might go, you know, in the top 15 or 20. But anyway,
yeah.
let's do it.
Okay, so Blake Bortles, this guy, you know, jumped in, getting all hyped up. Where do you think Blake Bortles is going? what team is he going to land?
I think Blake Bortles goes number one, first quarterback, that is, and three overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Jaguars don't really have a quarterback they can bank on, and they're looking at a guy who's maybe a two-year project, but their whole team is a two-year project. So I think Bortles is going to be the most sort of physically, you know, he's got the physical tools you want. Now, Manziel has the oomph that you want, and maybe Bridgewater's got the resume. But I think Blake Bortles goes number one of all the quarterbacks. So first quarterback off the board goes number three to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you have?
All right. Come on, we got to keep it moving. I'm going to tell you, it's hard hitting. I got Blake Bortles. He's going to go to Zimmer. He's going to go to the Vikings. I don't think they want a little guy. They need a big arm, a big guy, the cold weather playing outside. I think Bortles will play for the Minnesota Vikings. Next, Teddy Bridgewater.
So I have Bridgewater. I have him going at number eight to the Vikings. The Vikings are definitely picking a quarterback. We both agree with that. I think Bridgewater is the third quarterback off the board, and he goes to the Vikings.
I got Teddy going to the Browns, and it probably will be a 26, or they might move up and get him. I don't know, but I do think Teddy's going to the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel. Where's Johnny football player?
I got him going to the Browns at their number four pick. I think they're going to panic. I think they're going to want some cachet in the stands. A little Joe Namath, Joe Willie. I got Johnny Manziel going number four. So the second quarterback taken, number four overall pick.
I got your boy Johnny lighting it up for Mr. Khan and maybe potentially the London Jaguars over there in Jacksonville. He is going to fill up that stadium so that they don't have to leave Jacksonville. Johnny Manziel in the AFC South with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Derek Carr, big arm. His brother played in the league, number one pick years ago. Where's Derek Carr going to go?
I think Derek Carr is going to go to your Cardinals. I think he's going to fall to number 20 and basically a solid value pick. Hold the clipboard for a year, take over for Carson Palmer next year. Perfect grooming situation for a young quarterback, mm-hmm. especially a guy who knows the NFL because his brother is, 12 years older than he is. So, yeah, I like Carr for the Cardinals.
Well, it's funny because you know what? We actually agree. I think the Cardinals will take Derek Carr as well. You know, it's the perfect fit. I think he might actually sit 2 years, but however it works out, I think Bruce Arians as a coach is a good – he's worked with Big Ben, Andrew Luck. Derek Carr would be a perfect fit for the Cardinals. All right, this guy, Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois, Tony Romo's school. He's jumping up boards, all the names. People are loving him. This guy's got a big arm, big Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine game. Where's Jimmy going to go?
I like him going to the Bucs. I think the Bucs are not certain about their quarterback's future. I think Glennon is the man for now, but they may
even
take
somebody.
McCown's
the man for now.
Yeah, okay. They may even take somebody as early as their first-round pick, but I think they'll wait and go in the second or third round and pick a quarterback. So I like them picking.
You know, there's rumors. They're saying that they might take Bridgewater.
Yeah,
I think they've got to take a wide receiver, but – yeah. Well, I got Garoppolo. I actually got him going to the Oakland Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to scoop him up. And I think the arm and just everything, I think it fits. The Raiders, you know, Pryor, they traded him to the Seahawks. Seahawks now have Pryor, Wilson, and Tavares Jackson. So Garoppolo with the Raiders will be the backup. He'll jump over McGoin. Now, this guy, the veteran with the rings, from the SEC and Bama. Roll Tide. A.J. McCarron, where's he going?
I like him going to the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys really want Johnny Manziel, but the price will be too much. So they'll wait to later rounds. And I think he'll pick up Jerry, will pick up A.J. McCarron. He follows the SEC. He went to Arkansas, so he's a very, you know, very hip to SEC football, loves drafting SEC players. And I think the fact that he's such a winner
will help him be sort of the anti-Romo, right? Went to the big school, won in the SEC. I like him going to the Cowboys.
That's a good one to sell to the fans, too. You know, I like that one. I can't switch my board for that, but I like where you're thinking. I think A.J. McCarron is actually going to go to the Tennessee Titans. I think they'll scoop him up in the second round after they get, like, you know, a lineman or a linebacker in the first round. And I think McCarron is actually going to take Jake Locker's spot, and A.J. McCarron will be in the AFC South with the Titans. So now, how about Zach Mettenberger? LSU, the big arm, coming off the injury with Cam Cameron as the offensive coordinator, NFL experience. Where does he go?
I like Big Z going to the Houston Texans with the first pick in the third round. I think he'll fall all the way down there.
Nobody's dropping. These guys are not dropping that far. They got to get him in the second round.
They might have to use the first pick in the second round to get him. But, yeah, I like this kid. Again, a project, has to work out some kinks. Originally started at Georgia, transferred to LSU, tore his knee up. Apparently he's recovering very nicely from that. Big, strong quarterback. I think that's somebody that, the Texans head coach is going to like. You know, he coached Brady. He coached a kid at Penn State. Big, strong, upright thrower. I like Zach Mettenberger for the Houston Texans.
You know what? I totally agree. And the funny thing is, we've got the same pick here, too. I'd like him going to the Texans. I think it's the first pick in the second round. I think they don't trade down with the Falcons unless it's they're offered a ransom and they have Clowney and Mettenberger and they're ready to go and they're set and ripping and ready. All right, we got 10 minutes left. Let's keep it rocking. Aaron Murray from Georgia. Another
guy
coming off the injury.
I like him going to the Jets. The Jets are not sold on Geno or Michael Vick.
That's interesting. I think what that's going to happen is the Patriots are going to move Ryan Mallett. Don't know where. They want, you know, cause they don't know when Brady's going to retire, so they want to get a new guy that they can groom. And, you know, when Brady's gone, he'll still be under the rookie contract 3 or 4 years, and that'll be Aaron Murray going to the Patriots, taking over for Tom Brady. Now, Taj Boyd. A lot of talent, big arm. Everybody talks about Sammy Watkins. Well, you know who threw him the ball? It was Taj Boyd. Very, I think, underrated. Could be a nice quarterback in a couple of years. Where's Taj Boyd going to go?
I like Taj Boyd going to the Raiders in the tradition of downfield passers running around. And if Sammy Watkins were to fall to 5 and they would be able to get Watkins and Boyd together, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Now, for me, Taj Boyd, this one I will switch. I originally had Taj Boyd going to the Saints. I think, you know, the Saints do need a replacement for Drew Brees, but I actually think he'll get scooped up before the Saints will snatch him, and I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will actually scoop up Taj Boyd and take a shot on him to see what he could do in the future. Logan Thomas. Big arm. Some people like him. He's not too accurate sometimes at Virginia Tech. Where do you think he's going
to
go? A lot of talent.
He goes to the Broncos. Broncos eventually are going to lose Peyton Manning. So at some point they need to draft a quarterback if he's available in the late round.
They already got my man from Brock Osweiler. You don't like Big Brock? Come on.
I'm not sold on Big Brock.
The Broncos. All right. Well, I got Logan. I got Logan, the hungry Hogan's Heroes, the big arm. I like the big personality. I like it going to Jerry's World. I like him going to the big stadium with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys will take Logan Thomas. I like the gunslinger. And just one for good luck, number 11, Tom Savage, the kid from Pitt. He's got an arm. You know, a lot of people like him. I think he's going to get drafted, too. Where do you see Savage maybe going?
I think he's going to the Patriots. The Patriots are looking for a replacement that's cheaper than Ryan Mallett to back up Brady, and that'll be Savage.
Okay, I got the Jets taking him. I do agree with you. I think the Jets will need to get somebody, and I think they're going to pick up Savage. So real quick, we're not going to go. Everybody knows their stats. Ray and I just decided since we were doing this, we would talk about who's the top 10 right now in the NFL. Got a couple minutes left. Let's start with our honorable mentions. Give me two guys that didn't make your top 10 that are just like, you know, you love them anyway.
These guys can play, but they just are not top 10 material, partially because of the lack of playoff success. Matt Stafford and Cam Newton. Great quarterbacks, not in my top 10.
Okay. Okay. That sounds fair. I think my two honorable mentions, I'll have to go with I don't think he's there yet, even though both of these guys have got rings. I'll say Flacco and Russell Wilson are my two guys. Even though they both have the rings, they haven't put up the consistent stats yet. So at number 10, who are you rolling with?
Robert Griffin III. On the reconstructed knee, I think he comes back, and I think before it's all said and done, he's a top five quarterback.
Okay.
I mean,
I got Matthew
Stafford.
Right. I got Matthew Stafford from Detroit. I think Clemens gets him right. He stops throwing interceptions, but this guy's a touchdown machine, and will have a huge year. He'll be 10 this year. At number 9, who you got?
Colin Kaepernick. I think his arm strength and his speed is a combination we've never seen before in the NFL.
I would say the same thing for my number 9, and his name is Cameron Newton. Killer Cam. Without any real wide receivers.
Well, that's the problem.
Throwing to a bunch of threes and fours. Yeah, but you know what? This guy's such a stud. He's my number 9, Cam Newton. Number 8, who you got?
Big Ben.
Ooh, my boy Big Ben's so low. I hear you. 8, I actually have a tie. I got the natural Matt Ryan tied with the bow tie guy, Phillip Rivers. I think they're both just great quarterbacks it's a team game, and you need help to win the Super Bowl, and neither one of these guys have had the proper help on the other side of the ball. So that's my number 8. Who you got at 7?
Matt Ryan, a.k.a. Matty Ice, a.k.a. Big Matt, a.k.a. Matt.
He needs an offensive line this year. They shouldn't be trading up for Clowney. They better trade up for Greg Robinson and get a lineman for this guy, man. Woof, poor Matt
Or
Ryan.
Or Taylor Lewan falls to them.
Take him at 6.
I mean, anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
One of those three. Robinson, Matthews, or Lewan. Yeah. They'll get one of them even if they just stay there at 6. So, okay, so that's your 7. 7, I got Big Ben. I think Big Ben is, he's got 2 rings. Maybe he won one more than he won the other, but he's still pretty good. I think Big Ben is a great quarterback. He's my number 7. Number 6, who you got?
I've come full circle on this guy. I really didn't think he was that good. I thought he was a little overrated, in fact. But I got to tell you, this guy, other than being 5'10", really has no flaws in his game. He's smart. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. He can run. He can make plays out of the pocket. His name is Russell Wilson, and he's an MVP, Super Bowl MVP, or he didn't win the MVP, but he's a Super Bowl champ, and this guy's the real deal.
Okay. So my bad. I had messed up with my list. So basically I had Philip at 8, Matt at 7, Ben at 6. So Ben Roethlisberger is my 6. So that was your 6 was who? Instead
my
of saying the time. Okay, so my 6 is Big Ben, and so I had Matt at 7 and Philip at 8 instead of a tie. Okay, so now so Ben over there at 6. Now, who you got at 5?
I think our top 5 might be the same, but my 5
is the
perfect quarterback in the terms of the prototype. Big, strong, smart, has got some legs, has got accuracy, has got all the tools you want. It's just a matter of going out and producing in the playoffs.
He's a hero the most.
Andrew Luck, my man.
All right, 90 seconds. I got Luck, too. We got the same there. So at number 4, I got Drew Brees. Is that who you're rolling with at 4?
Yep, I'm rolling with Drew Brees at number 4. Super Bowl champ.
Yeah. He's the man. I like to see him get another one. It's just going to be hard unless they get the defense. And number 3, Sir Peyton Manning. Can't get over the hump, even with the great stats last year. Seattle shut him down, so that's why I have Peyton at 3. You have Peyton at 3?
Yeah. Had he won the Super Bowl, I might have put him at number 2. But, yeah, I think, yeah, both of our number 2s are the same. Tom Brady, right? Is that your number 2?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Like we said, he's doing more but less. And he's the candidate and the title, the head title for that segment that we have.
He should have an NFL award, the Tom Brady Award, doing more with
that. Yeah. They need to get him a receiver. And at number 1, Aaron Rodgers. He had to sit a couple years, so nothing's wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. The number one for Ray and Tay, the quarterbacks right now in the NFL. And tweet at us, Twitter, hit us up Facebook, or just send us your top 10 right now at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Great show. We'll be back Monday talking some more NFL draft getting ready, the NBA playoffs, a little bit more MLB. You ready for the weekend, man? Good sports weekend. It's going to be hype.
I'm ready. I'm ready, especially for these basketball playoffs. I mean, by the time we come back on Monday, we might have some teams in some serious trouble in the NBA.
Yeah, and we got some great shows coming up for you. Check out May 5th. We're going to have our mock draft. We'll have the 9th. We'll review the first round, preview the second and third and the rest of the draft. And then on May 12th, we're going to have a special guest, Randall Cunningham's coming on with us, Ray. It's going to be on and popping, and we will talk all things football and everything with him, but also review the NFL draft. It'll be strictly a football show. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we're out. Thanks for talking
sports. Have a great
sports
weekend.
Ray and Tay, peace.
Peace.